This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom. And so far, so good. God is protecting our family. And we are raising our children in the fear and the nurture of the Lord, as commanded by Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And by the grace of God, we want our children to be protected both physically and spiritually in order that we might prepare them to make an impact on the culture around us. And friends, I tell you what, schools are getting more dangerous out there. You all heard about the Roswell, New Mexico shooting. A 12-year-old took a shot at a couple of kids in a gymnasium, I believe it was, a day or two ago. Another sad situation in which a school shooting put a couple of kids in the hospital. As far as I know, this time there were no fatal shots. However, there was a Colorado shooting that occurred in a school about, 2 weeks ago. Dave, it seems to me that shootings are happening about every week now. America has had school shootings since the 1850s. And I'm going to look at the stats in just a moment. But please understand, my friends, that school shootings are way, way up. We're getting about one a week, at least in the news. 33 in the last year, according to my count, from what I get online. You'll find records of school shootings, the history of school shootings online, if you want to go and do the calculations. 33 school shootings in the last year. That's up from 14 in 2012. Schools are getting more dangerous. 33 school shootings, up from 14 in 2012, 9 in 2011, 9 in 2010, 6 in 2009, 4 in 2007, 3 in 2003. There were an average of 2.8 school shootings per year in the 1980s, that is in the United States of America, 2.1 per year in the 1970s, 1.7 per year in the 1960s. Does anybody see a trend here? 1.7 to 2.1 to 2.8 to 3 to 4 to 6 to 9 to 9 to 14 to 33 last year.
Those numbers are each getting larger.
They are getting larger.
It's a larger.
You're very observant this morning. You must have had your first couple of cups of coffee.
So what we're saying is that schools are getting more violent.
That appears to be the case. And yet, people say, yeah, but we've always had them. Yes, we had them back in the 1850s. In the 1850s, in 1860s, there was Arthur Day, a 13-year-old boy, secretly took a loaded pistol to public school number 18 in New York City to shoot a dog that he said had bit him. While he was playing with a pistol, Day accidentally shot and injured his classmate, Robert Morton. Okay, that happened back in 1867. Then in 1868, a boy who refused to be whipped by his teacher left the school. The next day, he returned with his brother and a friend for revenge. Not finding the teacher at the school, they continued to his house, where a gun battle took place and three died. Only the brother survived. Okay, so that was in the 1860s, okay? And so, Dave, the incidence of school shootings in the 1860s, 0.2 per year. Per year, okay? Friends, the hearts of men have always cultivated the spirit of hatred, envy, malice, and all those evil things we inherited from Grandpa Adam, okay? So I'm the first to say that hey, the world is never going to be without some level of violence. But friends, 0.2 incidents in 1860s, per year in the 1860s, up to 1.7 in the 1960s, 2.1 in the 1970s, 2.8 incidences per year in the 1980s. There were 3 in 2003, 4 in 2007, 6 in 2009, 9 in 2010, 9 in 2011, 14 in 2012, and 33 last year. All right. Now, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Of course, school violence is all over the place. There's always kids getting slammed into lockers, and there's always the violence that comes from a society that is becoming more and more lawless. Why? Because their parents are lawless. Because 50% of the kids are born outside of wedlock, and that in itself is lawlessness. Divorce rates, of course, through the ceiling, and the society is excusing the worst possible immoralities, including homosexuality. So, of course, there will be other forms of immoralities as defined by God's law, which includes murder, a violation of the Sixth Commandment, by the way. All right, Dave. So what's the moral of the story? Get your kids out. Okay. Why would you send a 7-year-old? Why would you send an 11-year-old into a junior high school where kids are violent, where these kids are not raised in the nurture of the Lord, where your kids are supposed to be protected? Jesus said, if you stumble one of these least of these little ones that believes in me, It would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and be drowned at the bottom of the sea. I think we should bring that verse out from time to time. Why? Because Jesus said it, and he meant it. He meant it. There's nowhere in the scriptures that says take a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, an impressionable little child that needs to be physically, emotionally, and spiritually protected, preserved, and prepared, but dump them into a public school in which they're in this unsavory environment where most of their peers are not Christians and bear an unchristian, immoral influence upon the rest of the kids. And by the way, most of the teachers aren't Christians either. Now, there are some who are, but there's nothing in Scripture that says you put your children into a godless institution that is self-consciously godless, that says we're godless. And if we're not godless, we're going to drag anybody who's not godless into a courtroom, and we will prosecute them to the full intent of the law. Okay, that's the public schools today. And there's nothing in Scripture that says you ought to send your 7-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid into those schools to make an impact for Jesus. Rather, it says, protect your children, shelter them, lest you be subject to the millstone treatment from Jesus himself, who really meant that when he said that in Matthew 18. Dave, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Okay, what can happen to a kid in a school? He can get shot, but there are worse things that can happen. He can get into the wrong kind of peer influence. He can be influenced by evolutionary, humanist, atheist teachers, and that's worse. That's worse.
It is worse.
That's worse than getting shot. Schools are dangerous, and I think that's one reason to get them out.
Well, Kevin, I scribbled down 5 ways in which I believe your child's safety can be compromised in the public schools. There's the physical safety, the shootings, the beating up, the bullying, sure. There's sexual safety. The pressure for fornication in the schools is tremendous in the curriculum and amongst the students. There is mental safety. They're going to end up with a foreign worldview with ideas that you talk about in your book, Apostate, but they're going to be inculcated into those, and they'll become good little apostates. And maybe Volume 2, you can be writing about their children. Apostate Volume 2, you know, you can get it at kevinswanson.com sometime in the future. There's going to be spiritual issues. They're going to be under the attacks through the foreign worldviews, through the mental worldviews, through the sexual things that are happening there. There's real spiritual danger in these areas. And lastly, there's emotional danger. Children who go to public schools come out emotionally different than those who are nurtured within a home environment or a more loving environment, not a peer-driven environment, because their learning is happening in a warm, loving I've used the word environment too much, but in a home in which a child is the child himself is the object of the affection, not just the test scores and not just getting him to class on time and obeying the bells and standing in line, all the other stuff that goes with public schools. So I'd say that there's at least these 5 areas in which a child is endangered when you send him to public schools.
Yes, my friends. I know that most of our listening audience are homeschoolers, or at least consider Christian education an important value for the children, at least those who want to preserve the faith and preserve the lives and the souls of their children. But for those of you who may be new to the broadcast, this is a big deal for us. This is a really big deal for us. Why? Because, you know, we're after preserving faith, family, and freedom for the years to come. We're after preserving our children's lives, yes, but we're also interested in preserving life, faith, family, and freedom. And my encouragement is that you find a good way to do that. And as it turns out, education has been a big tool of the left to bring children into a different world and life view. In fact, there are a fair number of university professors who have said that we're just fine with all the red states sending their kids to blue state schools and blue state universities. We're just fine. We're so excited that there are all these red state people. We just love these red state people. They're some of our favorite people in the whole world because they send their kids to blue state schools and blue state universities where they're not taught a biblical world and life view.
In other words, to protect your child, you're going to have to do more than get a bulletproof backpack. By the way, the preponderance now of things like bulletproof backpacks being sold to protect your children.
You're kidding. You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
They have bulletproof backpacks now.
So your child cannot get shot through the back, or in the case of a school shooting, they can hide behind their backpack and resist fire. They make those things.
They make bulletproof backpacks. Had no idea.
Yeah, for your school. For your child to take to school. This is not, this doesn't look like something a Marine would be wearing. Uh-huh. They come in, you know, the Hello Kitty patterns and things, so that your child doesn't have to say bulletproof backpack, but it's got Kevlar lining and so forth in the pack, mm-hmm. in order to protect your child from a school shooting. But that's not the worst danger. The worst danger, as you're saying, is the spiritual dangers. It's the purity, it's sexual dangers, it's the emotional dangers. All of those things are present, and your backpack that you send your child with is not going to protect them from those things.
Well, and evidently the Obama administration is not supporting homeschooling. An article from the Chicago Sun-Times came out yesterday. And I'm going to address this next on the Generations broadcast. Can you believe it? President Obama does not appreciate home education. We'll be back in a moment.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring a conference in Denver, Colorado on March 27 to 29, 2014. This is for families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy. This is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including family economics guru Alan Carlson and entrepreneur Dave Tucker, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. Join us for our Family Economics Conference in our backyard, Denver, Colorado, March 27 to 29, 2014. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com. Register now. Early registration ends on December 31st.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson here with you, still committed to sending your kids to those public schools. You can, parents, you can at least love your children enough to get them a bulletproof backpack. Get it at bulletblocker.com or eBay. There's lots of sites that apparently have these bulletproof backpacks. So if you're committed to sending your kids to the public schools, you can protect your child with a bulletproof backpack. Or you can homeschool. I think it's cheaper to homeschool, isn't it?
Well,
how much are those backpacks?
Well, at bulletblocker.com, you can also get your child a bulletblocker bulletproof children's nylon jacket for only $749.
For $749, friends, you can send your kids to a public school and protect them from school shootings. No, for $749.
The backpack's only $269, but of course it doesn't offer the whole protection package that the vest does.
Yeah, but I would recommend that because... How about helmets? Can they get helmets? Can they get a helmet? Because if they get a shot in the head, Dave, they're dead.
I don't see anything for helmets. I think the backpack is probably more practical in warm weather. The child will probably not want to wear the jacket. They won't have the jacket with them in the classroom where the school shooting's likely to take place. So, you know, probably just $269.
For $269, you can protect your child sort of in the public schools with this bulletproof backpack. Or for $749, it's a full vest. Or you can homeschool your kids. Okay? Or you can homeschool your kids. Dave, it seems to me that homeschooling has more and more of a sales pitch on the front page of the newspaper just about every other day. When I was executive director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado, people said, how do you expand the homeschool population? What do you do with the brochure? I said, our brochure is the front page of the newspaper. That is our brochure.
We should be honest, though, and say that in my homeschool, at least, there is plenty of school shootings. We shoot bottles and targets, and there's guns present all the time.
Right.
Mrs. Buhner, my wife, she has a concealed carry permit, so you just might want to think about knocking twice. Mm-hmm. Make sure you knock loudly before you come in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Be sure that you responded to before.
Right. And even my 8-year-old, he's learning good shooting etiquette and how to look down a rifle. So we have school shootings, but not too many people are getting hurt.
Okay. All right, here's the Chicago Sun-Times. Obama administration has taken a sour view of homeschooling. It's Kevin Williamson. I think he's from National Review. Yeah, he's National Review. Is that conservative? That's a conservative outlet, isn't it?
Used to be. It's more of a moderating.
Well, this time, they're actually saying some nice things about homeschooling and not so nice things about the President of the United States, or at least his administration. Ronald Reagan electrified the world when he demanded that the Berlin Wall be torn down. Barack Obama is helping to build a new one, even as the German government begins rounding up members of a despised religious minority. Well, that's pretty intense. He's referring to the stories that we've talked about multiple times on this radio broadcast, the Romeikis and the Wunderlich family. The Romeikis family was granted asylum in the United States because the German government was intent on wresting away the children and putting the parents in cages for the crime of homeschooling their children, which is verboten in Germany, a legacy of the country's totalitarian past. Amen to that. The Obama administration, which in other notable areas of immigration law has enacted a policy of discretion regarding deportations, took the Romeikis family to court to have its asylum protections revoked and succeeded in doing so. The family has appealed to the Supreme Court, which has ordered the Obama administration to respond to the Romeikis petition, but the administration has so far refused to do so. Dave, I mean, again, it's kind of a shame that they'll pick on one little family, one persecuted Christian family. You know, I mean, if there were 10 persecuted Christian families in the world, the Obama administration go after them. But if there are, you know, 50,000 illegal aliens that have made it over the border, I don't think the Obama administration would go after them. And I think we've referred to that before. Anyway, the story continues as the Romeikis story unfolds. Another German family is being held in the country against their will, also for the crime of homeschooling their children or intending to do so, at least. The Wunderlich family had their children kidnapped by the German government, agents of which came crashing through their door with battering rams as retaliation for their homeschooling. They complied with the government's demand regarding their children's education, understandably enough, began the process of relocating to France, where attitudes towards family life was more civilized. The Germans responded by refusing to reinstate their custody of their children, with a judge determining that the desire to homeschool presents an endangerment to the children. So it seems to me that the only dangerous thing that happens in home schools, at least in Germany, is when the gendarmes bust down the door and break through.
Well, it threatens the social order that the centralized government is trying to impose. In order to have a good Germany, you have to have everybody marching lockstep. And whatever the government says goes. How are you gonna transform a people unless you start with the youth?
You got it. You got it. And Dave, this story just came up in front of me on the web. A Kansas middle school, the poster is just, I guess, right there. This is a junior high school. We're talking 11, 12, 13-year-old kids are walking by. And here's the picture of sex acts that you can participate in as part of a health and science curriculum.
Now, this is
I'm not going to read all of them.
No, don't read.
No, I'm not going to read them.
Where is this again?
This is in a middle school in Kansas.
Kansas. So this is not
Heartland.
This is not San Francisco. This is not Heartland. New Orleans. This is not Manhattan. This is right in the middle of good old Kansas.
This is at Hawker Grove Middle School in the Shawnee Mission School District. That's got to be out there in the middle of nowhere somewhere, Dave.
I don't know. Even if it's
and,
Kansas City.
I mean, they're talking about, I mean, I can't read these things.
No, you can't even read them on the air.
I can't read them on the air. No, that would be against the law.
And 13-year-olds are seeing this as an official curriculum.
This is the curriculum for the health and science department at Kansas Middle School.
Posted for everybody to read in the hall.
And for everybody who happens to show up on Breitbart.com.
On Breitbart.com. Breitbart's reporting it.
Yeah. So, wow. Okay. Yet another reason to send your kids to a junior high school. If you want to ruin them sexually, they'll get a good education there in the wrong form of sexuality. Okay. Well, more reasons to homeschool. But meanwhile, the Obama administration apparently has not taken too kindly to the Romeikis family. Apparently, this is appealed to the Supreme Court. Okay, I'm not following the Romeikis story as carefully as I ought to. Right now, the Romeikis story or the Romeikis case is taken to the Supreme Court. A judge has already seen fit to offer them asylum, but the Obama administration wants to hand them over to the Germans. In the case of the Wunderlich family, a fundamental human right, the right to move away, which is enshrined in German law, is being grossly violated. The Germans, of all people, should appreciate that walling in people who want to leave is uncivilized. The Obama administration has an opportunity to make a statement in both cases by dropping its assault on the Romeikis. It's Kevin Williamson from National Review, as reported in the Chicago Sun-Times. Okay, my friends, well, home education under attack on part of the Obama administration. No real surprise there. But again, reasons to homeschool your kid, I think there are plenty of reasons, and here's one of them. Homeschooling is legal in 50 states here in the United States. That's why the Romikis came here, because they really didn't want to subject their kids to sexual education as provided by the Kansas school districts or by the German school districts. And Dave, I just interviewed a Russian family who took their kids out of public school, their little junior high kids out of public school, because of all of these nude figures that were showing up in their curriculum and on their cell phones or other people's cell phones as they were, sexting each other in St. Petersburg schools.
And this is not the Venus de Milo.
This is
contemporary.
This is just the sexting that goes on in junior high schools in Moscow or St. Petersburg. So, friends, okay, there are lots of reasons to bring your kids into the homeschool environment and to give them a nurture in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I mean, do we teach sex education? We do. And it comes from Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. It's taught in the fear of God, in the fear of God's judgment. Certainly, hellfire is mentioned in the context of sexual sin in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. By the way, I encourage you to get a copy of our Bible study guides that we've used in our home. And I wrote them for other families as well. They're interested in giving their kids a proper education in the fear of God, the basic principles given in God's word. Then I'd encourage you to grab a copy of our Proverbs Bible study guides available at our website. But Dave, I think it's becoming more and more crucial in the hearts and minds of so many families to find different ways to educate their children and different books, different curriculum, different picture books, different free reading books, different literature. They're starting to take a hard right turn away from the sorts of things that have destroyed our culture and undermined our society and deconstructed sexuality and everything else.
Well, it's time, I think, it's clearly time to get your children out of the brick and mortar schools. I believe it's time to teach them God's order. So go from brick and mortar to God's order, but that's not going to be just taking the same school books that they had down there at the public school down the street and doing it at home. That's not going to work. That's not going to protect them from thoughts and ideas and spiritual attacks and other things. It may protect them against a shooter and it may protect them against some peer influence, but as long as you leave the TV on, it's there. As long as you're bringing in the ideas that you list in your book, Apostate, and don't take every thought captive, they're not really going to be protecting their children. So you got to teach economics from God's perspective. You got to teach government from God's perspective. You got to teach literature and say, what does the word say about this idea or that idea, and bring every thought captive. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some diligence on the part of the parent. But then again, what is parenting and discipling about? But being diligent in raising and shepherding the heart of a child.
Well, folks, this is really the burden of this ministry. This is my burden. It has been for a long time that we get more Christian curriculum for our Christian kids, for our kids raised in Christian homes, raised in the nurture of Jesus or the paideia of the Lord, as we read in Ephesians 6:4. I mean, that is a command. If you're a Christian parent, you'll raise your children in the paideia of the Lord. And that's one reason why we put together a Christian curriculum for high school kids. We really wanted our kids to read less Hawthorne, less Shakespeare, and less Mark Twain, and more Athanasius, more Augustine, more John Bunyan, more. You say, who in the world are they? They're Christians, okay? They're Christians. Believe it or not, Christians have written classic literature in the history of the world. And I know that very few people read Christian literature because they're educating their kids to be secularists and effectively apostates. And that's, of course, why I've dedicated four whole chapters in my book to the Nephilim, the literary Nephilim that effectively stripped back the Christian faith, destroyed the Christian faith in England and America, in the Western world. I'm talking about guys like Hawthorne, guys like Steinbeck, Mark Twain, and Shakespeare. Read my book, Apostate, if you want the vision, and then visit our website for good, solid Christian curriculum for high school kids. Now, Dave, as we've been starting in on this, let's develop more Christian stuff for the last few Christian families who want Christian things, begin to ask myself, how many picture books are there for little tots and totettes, you know, little guys, the little guys. And I've got some nephews and nieces and brothers and sisters raising kids, and they're constantly saying, can't find enough picture books. I mean, we've got the Dr. Seuss, Curious George, who's always disobeying, you know, and meatballs raining from the sky and wild kids doing wild things where the wild things are instead of obeying their mom and dad, and Cookies for Ungrateful Mice. I mean, you've got those books out there.
Well,
you got those books.
It is important. You know what happens if you give a mouse a cookie.
Yeah.
I don't want to diminish that, but I know.
But I'm talking about nutritious, nurturing, fun books for little guys. And that's really based in a biblical world and life view. You know, picture books, good, solid picture books that you would buy for your little son for the Christmas or for his birthday. You know, really solid picture books. I can count on maybe one hand the solid picture books that we have used for our children. I mean, not the Curious George stuff. We've done some of that too. But, you know, I mean, something with good, solid, biblical Christian values, emphasizing, you know, godly relationships instead of the Sesame Street thing. No. Put it in the context of the covenantal family. You know, not the Sesame Street. It's a socialist thing. And Oscar doesn't really have a father. And Ernie and Bert are, I don't know what they are. Nobody really knows what they are.
Some say they're homosexuals. They're Muppets.
Okay. But it's a community. It's a socialist community that doesn't really emphasize the Christian family. So anyway, what I'd like to do is I'd like to announce for the first time what we call a Nurture Little Hearts book contest for a Christian children's picture book. And so we want to do this in 2014. We want people to submit. We want a contest in which we will offer a prize of $2,000, plus we'll publish the book and provide royalties for anybody who wins the contest. This contest, friends, is to pull together a beautiful little picture book themed around a Christian concept or a biblical concept, certainly recognizing something of God and his importance in our lives and godly family relationships within the home, or whatever it is. Okay, just make sure you've got a good, solid biblical basis for that picture book. And Dave, I want to challenge the tens of thousands of listeners out there to think about producing something like this. I know there are homeschool graduates out there. I know there are some budding artists out there that would just love to create their first picture book for 2 to 8 year old children. All right, so this contest is going to happen through 2014. All submissions must be made by July 31st, 2014, and the winner will be announced by August 31st of 2014. We'd like to get this thing to press. So, Dave, what do you think?
Get your crayons. Get going.
Yeah. Yeah, and submit it. Okay, if you want some of the rules and regulations related to this contest, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com, and let's get these submissions into the Generations with Vision by July 31st of 2014. We're going to ask that your book submission include the full text and a mock-up of at least 75% of the pictures, and that you, again, submit this thing by July 31st. The book length should be 25 to 50 pages, and target it towards 2 to 8 year olds. Again, if you're interested in participating in this contest, Nurture Little Hearts Book Contest in 2014, friends, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com, and I'd love to send you the basic guidelines for the contest. Again, the submission must be in by July 31st, 2014. It is our passion. It is our commitment to see that we pull together, hopefully at some point, 10, 15, 20 picture books that could be very helpful, very nurturing for families out there, Christian families that want to raise their little guys in the nurture of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.